Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, we're making babies with the Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Professor Shane Higgins, is with me in studio today. Shane, good afternoon.
How's things? Andrea. Very good, thanks.
Yeah, good. We spent the last couple of weeks talking about getting the body ready for, well, preconception, what you can do. We've been talking about trying to get pregnant, the nuts and bolts of that, understanding ovulation. Today, though, we want to talk a little bit about male infertility and secondary infertility. Shane, there are two things that seem to come up a lot from, questions, queries from our listeners.
No, absolutely, Andrea. And I think they're relevant. If a couple are trying to conceive, then it's not always, and it certainly isn't always, about the female partner. The male can contribute to the fertility issues as well.
So, as a man, if you're having issue trying to get pregnant, so what's their first steps? Because we've been talking about the things that the woman can do in terms of going to the GP and the kind of blood tests to ask for.
Yeah, and interestingly, a lot of the first steps will be exactly the same. So going to your GP and starting with a really good history and examination, and that includes an examination of the testes to ensure that they appear at least to be structurally normal. But looking for anything that might indicate where the problem might lie. And we, broadly speaking, break male infertility down into medical, environmental and lifestyle problems. So medical could include a hormone imbalance. And the reproductive element of healthcare is a very sophisticated. It's controlled by areas within the brain like the hypothalamus and the pituitary, and then they control the testes if you're a man and the ovaries if you're a woman. So any imbalance in that axis can lead to poor spermatogenesis and sperm production. But men could be born with genetic conditions like Klinefelter syndrome, for example, which can lead to subfertility where instead of having 46 chromosomes and XY because you're a man, you have 47, you have two X's and a Y. So you appear, for all intents and purposes, as a man, but you can have subfertility issues or infertility issues. Chronic conditions, diabetes, cystic fibrosis, and something that we mentioned, you brought up last week, was the presence of a varicocele. So they're the sort of medical conditions that you can have. Certain occupations, if you're exposed to heavy metals or industrial chemicals or pesticides, they can lead to poor sperm production. And then we keep coming back to the same things again about lifestyle choices like alcohol, tobacco, recreational drugs. Those are the sort of things that men, as a preliminary set of assessments, need to consider.
Okay. So all of this can be done in the first instance with a trip to the GP for the guy.
And even a sperm sample. The cornerstone of male investigations is seminal analysis. So a seminal sample being sent off for the volume, the motility, the quantity per mil and the morphology. So do they appear normal? Are they moving normal under a high power field? And that's your first step.
And does the guy need to go, sorry, Shane, is it a GP or an infertility or a fertility clinic that they're going to?
No, your GP can arrange for you to drop a seminal sample into a fertility clinic. The actual analysis of the seminal sample will be done at a specialist clinic, but the GP can arrange for that to be done as part of the initial investigations.
Okay, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number for your questions today. This listener, Shane, says, what role do hormones play in male fertility? Can hormonal imbalances lead to infertility?
Yeah, they can, absolutely. And that's part of that hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. And any upset stress can cause an imbalance in that axis and lead to increased cortisol production, obesity. If a man is very overweight, then the fat in the periphery will actually produce more estrogen, which can have a negative impact on spermatogenesis. So it's a very sophisticated control mechanism, and any upset in that axis can affect spermatogenesis.
This listener says, I've been trying to conceive with my husband for about 10 months now. No luck yet. He's a truck driver. I read online this occupation can lead to infertility. Is that true?
Yeah, look, there are stories out there. Certainly we know that the testes are in the scrotum for a particular reason. The temperature in the scrotum is about 34 degrees, so it's well below the core temperature of the human body. And that's to aid with sperm production. So if your testes are for prolonged periods of time at an increased temperature, it can inhibit normal spermatogenesis. Maybe not to the point of complete infertility, but to remove that impact, that heat impact might have a beneficial effect. So loose underwear, avoiding situations where the testes are at a warmer temperature for a prolonged period of time will help with that.
And does that happen through driving?
It can be. If you're sitting on a hot a truck engine for very long periods of time, you can increase the temperature of the testes.
So in that case, this was a conversation that they as a couple need to have at home around the kind of occupation, is it?
Yeah, but I mean, just isolating one particular issue is probably not in the best interest of progressing to a conception and a pregnancy. It's like, let's go to see the GP, do a full history, a full examination, looking for things like your occupation, exposure to various other chemicals that all might have maybe not the single impact, but a collective impact on sperm production.
Now, this listener says, I'm starting IVF soon and I'm using, is it a Cyronil nasal spray before the injections?
Yeah.
You're supposed to switch nostrils every time, but sometimes I forget and use my right side each time. Should I aim to do more on my left side to make up for it?
No.
Or stick to switching each time?
Stick to switching. That's the best thing to do. But if you do make the mistake of doing two nostrils consecutively, it makes no difference or little difference.
Is the nasal spray, that's part of this, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
That's part of the...
So that's how the drug is absorbed through the nasal mucosa.
Okay, so that's how they're taking it.
Yeah.
Listeners wondering about how age influences male fertility and at what age does male fertility typically begin to decline? Good question.
It is a good question and it's a very... It's not a simple answer. Male spermatogenesis will continue much later than, say, ovulation will occur in a woman. However, the older the man is, the greater the risk of damage to the DNA that the sperm are carrying. And that's where a test called DNA fragmentation comes in, just to see what the quality of the DNA in each sperm is. And it might, you know, poor DNA quality will inevitably lead to failure to conceive or miscarriage. So, yeah, that's where age affects men. They will continue to produce sperm, but the quality of the sperm might decline with age. But if you look at the eligibility criteria for referral to the public fertility, 60 is a man. So, you know, up to 60, you would expect normal spermatogenesis to continue to occur.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number for your questions. This listener, Shane's wondering about the effects of certain medications or medical treatments on male fertility, things like steroids and chemotherapy.
Absolutely. And, you know, the National Maternity Hospital, so, you know, chemotherapeutic agents will absolutely have an impact on both male and female in terms of ovulation, quality of the egg and sperm. So we have a service at the National Maternity Hospital for young people with cancer where we do fertility treatments, preservation surgery for male and female to preserve sperm and eggs in case it's not a small risk, but the agents that are used for the treatment of their cancers will have a detrimental effect on their fertility. So there are programs out there, and there's certainly one at the National Maternity Hospital in the Marion Fertility Clinic that looks at these young people with cancer.
So that's something they can inquire about.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just to that listener's query about steroids, I don't know if...
Yeah, look, steroids, again, there are so many different types of steroids. And there are many steroids that people will be on for particular conditions. Like, you know, we spoke about cystic fibrosis. We've spoken about inflammatory bowel disease. So often treating the condition is better for you than actually not and having the consequential effects of a poorly controlled disease process. But steroids can affect fertility also, yeah.
This guy, Shane, is wondering about the kind of food that he can eat to potentially improve sperm quality. Is there anything?
Well, there are, you know, there are certainly things that you should consider. Selenium. Copper are very important. Vitamins C and D are important. C and E are important for normal sperm production. But food that's low in antioxidants, vitamins and minerals is thought to have a negative effect on spermatogenesis. So improving your diet, losing weight, having a normal BMI, all of these things will assist with normal sperm production.
Yeah, and drink and smoke applies in the same way as it does to women?
Absolutely.
Okay, this listener is asking about the age. At what age does... andropause, male menopause start, and what are the symptoms for it?
Well, it's not a recognized recognized condition. Men will continue to produce male hormones, testosterone, in particular, well into their 60s and 70s. So you don't have the same menopause or andropause that you get with women in men.
Okay, so you just don't, it's not as prevalent?
No, not at all.
Okay. This listener says, I'm a male in my late 50s. Any thoughts on premature ejaculation and how to improve it?
No, I don't. No, I think that's a completely separate issue. And I think going to your GP with something like that would probably be the best port of call. But certainly, I don't think it's for the airways.
Okay. I've been trying to conceive for approximately 15 years. I've had a low sperm count diagnosed and have had 3 failed attempts at IVF. I'm nearly 40. Have a really healthy lifestyle. Work out 3 to 4 times a week. Don't drink excessively. Don't smoke either. Are there any other lifestyle changes I can make, perhaps with regards to diet, supplements, etc., to boost my sperm count?
Well, I suppose going back to the start, ensure that you, and you almost certainly will have, if you've gone down the road of IVF, then they will have examined you thoroughly. But ensuring that there isn't something like a varicocele, which we mentioned last week, that could be treated that will improve the quality of your sperm. As I said, taking a diet that's rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, selenium, copper, and vitamin C and E, they all help with spermatogenesis. But if you've been down the road of IVF and you've tried and had 3 failed attempts, then the chances are all of these things have been addressed already. If you're not willing to go down that route again, then you are probably looking at sperm donation as a possibility for conception.
Okay, so that's been to a fertility clinic, really?
Absolutely,
for
only
there.
Through a fertility clinic.
Yeah, okay. Secondary infertility was the other topic we wanted to kind of touch on and chat about today, Shane. You might just even explain it, first of all.
So secondary infertility is a couple who have previously achieved a pregnancy and despite whatever the outcome of that pregnancy might be, it is that they have achieved a pregnancy. So that's the definition, a couple who have previously had a pregnancy. So they are now encountering difficulties conceiving, and that's where the infertility component of the diagnosis comes in. The investigations are exactly the same as they would be for a couple with primary infertility. The only difference being that they've had a pregnancy in the past.
It seems to happen a lot of people.
It does, yeah. And I think people automatically assume if they got pregnant the first time, then it'll be easy. But, you know, things, you know, if you've got a 2-3 year window between your first and second pregnancy, a lot of things can happen. Endometriosis, fibroids, polyps, just to talk about, you know, the female genital tract, hormonal imbalance. All of these things can develop or occur following a very straightforward, uneventful pregnancy and lead to subfertility in a second and subsequently. But your starting point will be exactly the same. All the same investigations, ovulation, tubal patency, seminal analysis, that's where you would go.
Okay, so that's you'll have to go through all of those tests, even if you've had a perfectly normal pregnancy in the first instance.
Absolutely, because you are trying to establish from that moment in time as to what the cause of the infertility might be, and hence you have to start right at the beginning. History, examination and investigations with both male and female partners.
This listener is wondering about reflexology for men. Does it help with fertility?
Look, I don't think there's any evidence. There's no randomised trials out there about it. But I am personally a believer in traditional medicines like acupuncture, reflexology. So I don't think there's anything wrong in terms of considering whether these should be used as an adjunct therapy to other mainstream therapies.
Yeah, okay. Is sperm DNA analysis more comprehensive in testing if there are issues, asks this listener.
It's different. It's not your basic seminal analysis, which just looks at the volume, the count, motility, morphology. This is looking at what's inside in the nucleus of the sperm. What is the DNA in good of a good quality, or is it of a poor quality? So it would be an extra in test of your sperm.
Yeah, okay. If people want more information, we're going to talk about, I suppose, the unexplained infertility, perhaps maybe next week here on the programme. If people have questions in advance of that, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But all of our other conversations too, Shane, they're available online on our podcast. People can subscribe
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just again, going back to basics, your GP, and if there's enough after you've been to your GP by way of history or examination or investigations that indicate that there's a problem, then they should be referring you promptly onto a fertility clinic.
Okay. Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million.
You're very welcome.
For joining us here again today on Lunchtime Live. Shane will be back at the same time next Wednesday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.